Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Wednesday, March 20th. I'm Jonathan Aul. Fontbonne University students' future are up in the air after learning their school will close in 2025.
What's going to happen to the building? Like, what's going to happen with, like, my name on stuff? Like, I was on the team here. Like, all my accomplishments and everything, like, it's just going to be gone.
We'll have reports from Lauren Brannicky and Sarah Fentum on the closing of Fontbonne University coming up on The Gateway. Illinois Congressman Mike Boss prevailed in the GOP primary in Illinois' 12th district. St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum reports he beat back a familiar name in state GOP politics.
Boss defeated former state senator Darren Bailey in the Republican primary for the Southern Illinois-based 12th district. The Murfreesboro Republican faced a more competitive election cycle than usual, primarily because Bailey was the GOP nominee for governor in 2022. Bost had more money and more endorsements, including from former President Donald Trump. And while the final result was not a blowout, Bost says his win sends a clear message.
I know what needs to be done. I've got the experience and the know-how to work with my colleagues to gain ground.
Bost will be heavily favored to win in November, since the 12th is one of the most GOP-leaning seats in the state. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
Army veteran and photography business owner Joshua Lloyd will represent the GOP in the 13th congressional district race in November. He defeated law school student Thomas Clatterbeck in yesterday's primary. The district that includes much of the Metro East and extends all the way to Champaign-Urbana is currently represented by Democrat Nikki Budzinski. Lloyd will face an uphill battle in the general election as the district leans heavily Democratic. After 8 years, Madison County will likely have a new board chairman. St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer reports County Treasurer Chris Slusser beat incumbent Kurt Prenzler for the GOP nomination, and no Democrat has yet to declare for the general election.
Slusser soundly beat Prenzler 62% to 38%. Slusser says the wide margin of yesterday's victory surprised him.
But I'm super ecstatic. The voters spoke overwhelmingly tonight. I didn't expect this big a victory, but it's very rewarding and refreshing to see.
At one point, Slusser and Prenzler were allies, but they turned bitter rivals during Prenzler's first term in 2016. Prenzler says he wanted to thank his supporters, and he doesn't know exactly what's next for him. His term is over at the end of November. In Wood River, I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
Democratic President Joe Biden and Republican Donald Trump are big winners in Illinois' presidential primaries, but as Dave McKinney reports, each showed signs of possible weakness with their parties.
With only nominal opposition, there never was any doubt that Biden and Trump would win their respective primaries here. Yet, there were possible signs of trouble for both. In Chicago and suburban Cook County, for example, nearly 100,000 voters cast Democratic ballots but didn't choose Biden for president. And in vote-rich DuPage County, nearly 30% of Republican voters cast ballots for Trump rivals no longer in the race. The lopsided wins that Biden and Trump scored in Illinois come after each candidate last week secured enough delegates for their party's nominations. This is Dave McKinney.
St. Louis Symphony Orchestra's In Unison Chorus is broadening its reach by striking a deal with Fenton-based Morningstar Music Publishers. They'll distribute sheet music by Black composers and arrangers. St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin reports.
The In Unison Chorus focuses on music from the Black Church, arranged for chorus plus orchestra. Here's chorus director Kevin Macbeth leading In Unison alongside the orchestra in It's Working by Isaac Cates. It's Working was an In Unison commission, and it's one of two pieces Macbeth picked for Morningstar to publish and distribute around the world. He says that means more ensembles will have the chance to perform it.
When I started with the In Unison Chorus, it became pretty obvious that there were gaps in music available. Even though we had wonderful literature that was available to us, there just wasn't enough of it.
In Unison is celebrating its 30th anniversary this year. I'm Jeremy Goodwin, St. Louis Public Radio.
I'm St. Louis Public Radio Broadcast Operations Manager Wayne Pratt, asking you to take a moment to support The Gateway by giving at stlpr.org. I was the host of this weekday extravaganza for years. We ask ourselves a few questions when putting it together. How many stories have our reporters filed? What else is going on that is relevant to listeners? Is there anything quirky going on that we should share? The result is a clear, concise, and entertaining podcast to get your day started. We can't do it without your support. Give now at stlpr.org.
Administrators at Clayton's Fontbonne University announced earlier this month the 100-year-old institution would shut down in 2025. St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Fentum has been covering the issue. Sarah, exactly what happened at Fontbonne?
So Fontbonne had been losing students and thus tuition money for several years. And just to get a picture, as of 2022, they had around 900 students. That's compared to 15 years ago when we were looking at something like 3,000 students. They had been trying strategies to help save the school. They cut a lot of programs at the end of last year. They were looking to partner maybe with another institution, but it wasn't enough, and it became clear to the board that the only way forward was to shut down the school.
So what's going to happen to the students then?
It really depends on how far along students are, because the school actually isn't shutting down until the end of summer 2025. And that means a lot of upperclassmen will be able to finish their degrees before the school shuts down for good. The Fontbonne president says she expects more than half of students will be able to finish their degrees there. To do that, Fontbonne's using what's left of its endowment, which at this point is only about $9 million, to give scholarships to students to help them finish out their degrees. And they're also offering extended summer classes for free for students so they can load up on their credits and hopefully get enough so they can finish out their education. And school administrators are helping students transfer or take part in what's called teach-out agreements. For the most part, students who opt in for that kind of agreement will be automatically enrolled in a partner school and their credits will transfer over. Right now, Fontbonne has announced agreements with Quincy University in Quincy, Illinois, Culver Stockton College, that's in Canton, Missouri, and Buena Vista University in Iowa. Those are all small Christian colleges similar to Fontbonne University.
What about alumni? How are they handling this news?
I have seen some confusion online on places like Reddit and Instagram. People are commenting saying, oh, my degree isn't good anymore. That's 100% not true. Fontbonne is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission, and higher ed degrees remain legitimate if they were conferred by an accredited institution, even if that school shuts down.
What will happen to the physical campus, the school's property, land, and buildings?
Mm-hmm. A lot of people in St. Louis recognize Fontbonne because it's right next to WashU. It really just nestles up against the south end of that campus. WashU has agreed to buy Fontbonne's campus, which is really small. It's only about 16 acres. And lease it back to Fontbonne so the kids can finish this last year and a half of school. But beyond that, WashU hasn't announced any plans for the property.
Are other small private schools next, especially those in the St. Louis area?
Maybe. The problems Fontbonne faced aren't unheard of. Right now, it's common to hear university officials talk about something they call the enrollment cliff. And that means they're looking at birth rates and seeing fewer college-aged people coming down the pike. And people who might have gone to college in the past just aren't going now. According to the Pew Research Center, more than 1 million fewer 18 to 24-year-olds were in college in 2022 compared with 2011. Many small colleges are being hit with these problems, and there are several of those types of universities in our region. For example, Webster University has been dealing with financial struggles recently, opened up millions of restricted funds to pay off debt. Every school is different, but it's safe to say many are facing a challenge.
That's St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Fentum. The more than 800 students at Fontbonne University are now rushing to make new plans for the future. As St. Louis Public Radio's Lauren Brennecke reports, Fontbonne students face an uncertain future, and other area college students fear they may soon be in a similar situation.
Classes were canceled on the first Monday back from spring break. Fontbonne students arrived early that morning, prepared to get back into a routine. Instead, they got a text inviting them to a meeting in the gym. Ava Singer, a sophomore studying social work, says she had an idea of what the meeting was about.
We kind of had suspicions, and Nancy Blotner went up there and was just kind of explaining that WashU wrote a check and is buying us out.
Nancy Blotner, FontBond's president, told students that the university would close in 2025. The Board of Trustees voted on the school's fate just a day before. FontBond dropped 21 academic programs and even more faculty positions in November. Singer's degree program, social work, was one of them. She'll transfer sooner than expected.
Really, I think we all knew there was money problems from past. I thought it was going to close, but not this early, not this soon, like not so soon.
Total college enrollment has dropped more than 7% in the past decade. Blotner says they couldn't outrun falling enrollment.
I think that for the first time in my life, people are questioning the value of higher education. I also think that it's difficult for people to meet the needs of tuition. So, you know, we are not alone in that.
FontBond's not the only local campus that's struggling. Webster University recently reclassified endowment funds to satisfy requirements for a $30 million loan. Lindenwood faces falling enrollment and budget cuts. Audrey Woods played on Lindenwood's field hockey team.
We weren't even given a facility on campus, and it's only been a year since we've had a full D1 schedule, so that already is upsetting because we feel like we just weren't even given a chance before they cut us.
Woods doesn't plan on playing collegiate sports again, even if she transfers. Field hockey was a big part of why she chose Lindenwood. It became a D1 school less than 2 years before cutting 10 sports teams. FontBond made changes to sports programs, too. They boosted enrollment with a Sprint football team in 2022. The sport brought in interest and tuition money, but half the team quit less than a year later. LeBron Matthews is still on the team. Practice was canceled on the day Blotner told students of FontBond's closure.
This was like kind of like my last resort that I had, because like I was in the union for a little bit, then like I left to go to school, play football, and now it's like got to leave and find somewhere else to go.
Matthews sat with his teammates outside the fitness room after hearing the news. He says they'll try to stay in touch despite the school closing, but they've seen how difficult it can be.
It's weird. I don't know, like a lot of our friends left from last semester. You get a FaceTime here or there, but other than that, you don't really talk to them or really just feels a lot different.
Ogechi Okpara graduated in 2023 and ran track for 4 years, setting school records. She still practices with her former teammates, and their achievements hang on the school walls.
Just it being just closed down and just gone, it's like, what's going to happen to the building? Like, what's going to happen with, like, my name on stuff? Like, I was on the team here. Like, all my accomplishments and everything, like, it's just going to be gone. So it's kind of sad.
FontBond will provide students with teach-out plans and scholarships if they choose to stay for the school's last semesters. Blotner will retire after 3 years as president of the university.
My husband and I have two grandchildren who are students here, and they were in the audience and didn't know that this announcement was being made. And I tried not to watch their faces because that was personal for me, too.
Washington University, another private school, will expand to FontBond's campus in 2025. Officials haven't published plans for the buildings yet, but students are hopeful that pieces of FontBond will remain beyond the school's 101 years in business. I'm Lauren Brennecke, St. Louis Public Radio.
The editors at St. Louis Public Radio are Brian Munoz, Brian Moline, Lara Hamden, Fred Ehrlich, David Cazares, Brian Heffernan, and me, Jonathan All. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. From the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.